kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I want to take up something from Sunday. Some of you contacted me and said how blessed you were by the word, and I believe the Lord brought quite a lot out of that. But I'd like to take something from that in Kings 19, 1 Kings 19. And I want to take it up from verse 11. And I'm calling our teaching today, God's Still Small Voice. God's Still Small Voice. And I showed, and I obviously can't go through all of this. It is on the website for those who want to listen to this. But we saw, as we opened up with this, how that Elijah was so used by God in miraculous ways. Just to remind ourselves again, he was a man where God spoke to him through fire when he destroyed the prophets of Baal. He executed them. He built an altar unto God. And there God came and sent fire down and consumed and revealed the false prophets of Baal. He was also called to stop rain from falling for 3.5 years. So these are all pretty dramatic things taking place in this man's life. He was also used during the famine of that 3.5 years when he stopped the heavens from pouring rain. We know the story of the widow and her son, how they were preserved, and God kept them with flour and oil right through that time so that they could continue to eat. We see, of course, the victory at Mount Carmel. Elisha becomes his servant, and we know the story of where Elijah is caught up to heaven. There is a type of rapture, and on his being caught up, his cloak falls upon Elisha. So it's a pretty dramatic ministry. And of course, many, many people who read the story of Elijah, oh, they would love that power and that blessing and that anointing. And many Christians have believed for the anointing of Elijah on them and so on. It's dramatic stuff. You know, this is what you make movies out of and films and TV shows and so on. Many people in the world who don't really know much about the Word of God, the Bible, they know about Elijah and so on. And right in the midst of all of this, God reveals himself through the fire, through the earthquake, through the winds and everything, and he reveals himself as the still small voice. So that is just the brief introduction again to this. Let's read this a few verses again to remind ourselves from verse 11 of 1 Kings 19. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock in pieces before the Lord. Well, that's some wind, isn't it? To break rock, you think about it. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So we can really learn something from this, with what these few verses tell us here. And I'm going to break this down into seven areas in which we can look at this. Firstly is, why is God's still small voice so important? These are some of the things that we're going to try and answer today. Some of these may be your experience, some of these you are already experiencing or you already know. But we do need to go over this because something very important is being revealed here in a dramatic ministry. Well, firstly, looking at this still small voice, it sets us apart from all the hindrances in the world. There are many, many hindrances that try to rob us of experiencing this still small voice. Again, I'm convinced this is why the Lord still leaves us in this world, so that we learn through the everyday life and all the activities that we become sensitive to this still small voice. Because there are so many things that try to take our time, so many things dominating, taking our attention. Just the general strains of life, all of which is trying to rob us not only from our quality time with God, but from hearing this still small voice. And we know that the strains of life can almost be like a bow, an arrow, where the bow and the cords on it stretched and stretched and stretched to such a point that it, if it's pulled too much, it will finally break and is of no use. And it's a little bit the same with us, where we can be at times stretched almost to the point of breaking. And yet, God says, have time for his still small voice. So this is why God sets us apart. He sanctifies us when you become a new creation. He now sets you aside so that you can learn that still small voice in your life, in your quiet time, when you are in prayer or you're reading his word and so on. This still small voice ministered to us by the Holy Spirit is so essential, particularly now in the age that we are living in and the apostasy that is taking place. There are so many voices trying to push away this still small voice. You see, the devil, the powers of darkness, are very aware that the Holy Spirit wants us to learn to hear his still small voice. And the powers of darkness fear this. They fear this very much because this exposes the enemy's work. So that is a first area where this still small voice is so important for us to learn. And we can be at times a bit like Elijah, caught up with all the turmoil and all the things that are going on in life. And you need to step back from it. I found myself at times in situations, you know, where things are going on and a lot of activity, and I find myself just walking away from it because I need to refocus. I need to hear God. I need to just experience his presence. And of course, the more you experience that, the more you want it. And of course, our Lord himself, he very much put this first, always in his life. This is why sometimes he prayed through the night. He sought God through the night times. And why was this? Simply because of the pressures of the day. The pressures that were upon him. The people that wanted to follow and hear him. And the oppositions that he met. He had learnt, he had put first in his life that still small voice from his father. That was absolutely paramount in his ministry, his life, his walk. And it has to be the same for us. You are going to have to be disciplined at times, brothers and sisters, to simply walk away or walk away from family for a couple of hours while they're doing their own thing, just to refocus and hear the Lord. All of that is important when we're sensitive and open to the Lord. Because so much in the world is trying to rob us of our quality time with God. And I can guarantee it to you that the more you experience God's still small voice, the more you will want of hearing him. Trust me, because there is nothing like hearing Almighty God speaking, communicating with us. It's absolutely awesome. Well, it brings me on to the second area. We're looking today at how God was teaching Elijah through that dynamic ministry. He was teaching him that where you really hear God is in the still small voice. Even though he was demonstrating thunder and lightning, earthquakes and winds, and yes, God certainly can be in that, but you do not hear his still small voice in that. Well, secondly, because Elijah was a man of like passions, like us, we conclude then from that that God will deal with us the same. If Elijah needed to learn and be taught this still small voice, and he was a man of like passions like we are, well then it should be no shock or revelation that God would deal with the same with us. That still small voice. I'm reminded of Jonah, called of God to go and prophesy against Nineveh. The next thing we know is he's on his boat away, running away from God. Well, you know the rest of the story, how God prepared a very large fish for him. And there he swallowed him and spent 3 days in the fish's belly. There is a typical example when we ignore or run away from the still small voice of God, because he was hearing what God wanted, you see. So that is what we're learning. We have to learn that still small voice today, this hour, and how the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. We have to hear what he's saying, because he's not a God of confusion. But he's the author of peace. You see, we are seeing now how the powers of darkness, particularly at this present time, in this pandemic, how fear is motivating and pushing people. How irrational even governments are becoming, and so on. So thank God that we can set ourselves aside and we can hear that still small voice as he leads and as he guides us. Well, that's the second area. Then we come on to the third area. He speaks to us in that still small voice because he's still dealing with sin and unbelief. And many ways in which our hearts can be changed from stone to flesh is by hearing his still small voice. When that still small voice convicts us that we said something that wasn't completely true, or our words, our handling of that person was not in the love of God. These are just some of the areas that his still small voice will speak to us. And you know, I thank God when he reveals something where I have missed the mark. Because when he shows that, I rejoice in that because he has granted the gift of repentance. Remember, you cannot repent unless it is given as a gift. And that makes it awesome. You may cry with tears, but unless God grants that gift of repentance, we are without hope. And so when that still small voice is ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, and we have missed the mark, or we try and push it under the carpet, he brings it out into the light for the very purpose that the blood of the Lamb can cleanse and deal with that area. This is why it is so important you never quench the Holy Spirit, and certainly the Holy Spirit in your life. So again, how important it is to experience this still small voice. And fourthly, he speaks to us about ignoring at times those needs and where we need to help or go that extra mile to show that love. That still small voice will speak. That still small voice will reveal when you showed time for that person or you helped them out in whatever way you did. That still small voice will remind you that you have done that unto the Lord. How we need to be sensitive to this still small voice. This is how our Lord worked and moved. This is how God was with him with his ministry. He heard his voice, the voice of his Father. He heard what the Spirit was saying to him. And how did he know this? Because much of that he prayed through. This is why you need a prayer life. Much of prayer is birthing through the power of God to work and minister through you or through your church or through your ministry or whatever it is. I just remind you again, I cannot deliver this word that God gives unless I am in prayer birthing this through. It doesn't work otherwise. I remember, I know I brought this up, but when I was in Africa, in Zimbabwe, news came to me of a girl that was demon possessed in a real state. And I knew that the only way these demons could be cast out of this girl was to get into prayer, intercession, and to birth the power of God through to deal with this. Because you see, we are a vessel. And so I sought God until I felt the Holy Spirit had revealed to me and shown me all that was needed in which to minister to this girl. And I had prayed and interceded until I knew there was no more to pray or to say. Well, to cut a long story short, yes, the girl was there in the meeting, and those demons threw her down into the aisle, and she writhed around like a snake and hissing, foaming at the mouth. And we went over there and we rebuked those demons, cast them out. And she laid there as though she was dead, didn't move. And so I could see them looking, the fear. I said, she's not dead. I said, just take her to the back of the church and just wait. She will come round and give her water and just make her comfortable. And they did. And those demons were so powerful that came out of her that it caused a hemorrhage in her throat. She had brought up blood as well. And when she came to, she just praised God, lift her hands before the Lord, and she knew she was free. And they came to me and said, we've had many ministers. She's had a lot of prayer. They were trying to sort of say, why was this so different? How did this happen? With others, it happens because you get in prayer. It happens because you hear that still small voice and you allow the Holy Spirit to minister, to pray, to intercede, to birth through that power. Much of Jesus' prayers, even through the night, getting up early in the morning, was praying through the power of God to deliver, to feed the people, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. When are we going to learn this, brothers and sisters? And you know why we don't learn this? Because we are not experiencing the still small voice of God. Or we are not obeying the still small voice of God. And we have to. And God was teaching something here to Elijah. Because Elijah had run away in fear from a woman. I gave that all to you on Sunday. He's got to restore him back. He's got to reveal to him there's more than just running away in fear, because that is what we do. And at times we're dishonest about it, and we have to be honest before God. And God will deal with those things that cause us to run away. He'll deal with that unbelief. He'll deal with that sin in our lives. And the only way it is done through that still small voice of God and obeying it and setting yourself aside in order for him to speak. Well, fifthly, the still small voice is obviously for guidance. Guidance, being led by the Spirit, is keeping you in God's perfect will. Did you know that there is a perfect will and a permissive will that runs through the Bible? It's there. It's not in those words, but you see it in the actions of saints or the history of Israel, the children of Israel or whatever. They were in the perfect will of God for a while, then sin, idolatry, and out of the perfect will of God. And we do the same. Because we're not sensitive to his still small voice. You see, that still small voice, when you are hearing that still small voice, that has come because God has trained you to hear his still small voice. It's free, but it's not cheap. And you've had to go through the school of learning and trial in which to be trained to hear the still small voice of God. And that's what he's doing, and that's what he will do if that's what you want and it's your heart's desire. So that he will guide you, he will keep you in the perfect will of God, because the perfect will of God is God's presence in your life. And you know his presence is with you wherever you go, because you are led by the Spirit. You see, we need to learn that God always works opposite to the powers of darkness and to the very devil himself. You see, the enemy likes to work by fear. We're certainly seeing that right now. He likes to work through confusion, through lies. He likes to work through hysteria. He likes to blow a thing up out of proportion. He is a master at doing that. He's a master at creating riots. He's a master at creating wars, dissensions, and so on. That's how he works. And so because very often we find ourselves experiencing these things that go on, how we need to experience the still small voice of God ministering through this turmoil. We need to hear the still small voice when there's the winds and the hurricanes, when there's the earthquakes, when there is the fire and so forth. He will teach us when all that turmoil is going on. I'm always told in the heart of a storm, right in the centre, there is the stillness. Well, there's a good example. Let's just look at some scriptures to remind ourselves how God leads and guides us. For example, you know this well, in Isaiah 30 and verse 15, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In quietness, in confidence, that is where your strength is. That is where he saves us. This is where you hear the still small voice of God. God is speaking. God has been speaking today in your life. Have you heard that still small voice? Or have you been listening too much to the world and what the world is saying and what the news media is saying? What does it say in Isaiah 28 and verse 12? To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, and yet they would not hear. So there we are. That's the principles coming out all the time. And look at the mistakes. Here again, says the children of Israel, they don't want to hear, they're not interested. We have to be interested. It has to be our interest. If we really want to go on in this last lap of this race that we're in, it's very important, brothers and sisters. It's very important that we turn our eyes and ears away so that we can hear what God is saying. Well, sixthly, God has to work with us to hear and receive his still small voice as we don't like God's ways. So there's the problem. We all know that God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. He works completely opposite to what we think. And so because of that, and because the flesh can be such a hindrance to that, he has to work with us for that still small voice. Because the still small voice will be never what you think. Don't ever try and plan God's ways. Don't ever try and work out whether he's got a plan B or a plan C or a plan D. You will never know, unlike what man tries to do. This is one of the hard areas for the overcomers, because this is where you have to let go. And I believe the Holy Spirit is really working with us in this area, where he's wanting us to let go, because when we let go of fear, anxiety, questions, why, and all these things, when we finally let go of all of that, then the still small voice of God will speak. And when he speaks into your life, he speaks life to you. Wholeness in mind, body and spirit. That's what I always pray and intercede on, that the word of God, that God speaks through my mouth, is wholeness in mind, body and spirit to all that hear. Else I have failed in the ministry of the gospel. How do I know that? How do I get that? Because I hear the still small voice of God saying to me, that is what I want. And so if that is what he wants, that is what he will accomplish through me and many others who minister and teach God's word. Because it doesn't lie in me. What God calls you to do will not be what you like in the flesh or the intellect. It will always be the opposite. He seldom calls us to those things where we feel we have confidence in, because then it will not be of the Lord. So that is another reason why God's still small voice is imperative. And number seven, the last one. It's a still small voice, and it is for those who are totally committed to him. So it comes back to discipleship. It comes back to those who don't want to be just mere spectators, but want to walk close with the Lord. Who want to experience, like the disciples did, when Jesus took them aside and he would explain and expound further the deeper meanings. That's what we're doing. That's what our hearts is crying out for. That he takes us aside because of that commitment, because of that hunger within us. He will expound and show more. And that's why the still small voice of God is so important. And as I bring this to a conclusion, let's turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 5, John chapter 5, and verses 19, 20, John chapter 5, 19 and 20. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. And he goes on, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And it goes on. You see, what is Jesus revealing there? He's revealing something. He's revealing how he walked and moved by the power of his Father in his life. His Father reveals, he shows him. And he says, what I see, what he shows me, I go and do it. And there is the same principle for us. And here it is, the still small voice of God ministered to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is the same principle. And if we start to obey what he reveals, what he says, then his power, whatever is needed, what he shows, is there to deal with whatever situation God calls you to. There is the principle. It's not rocket science. Jesus reveals how he does it. And he's revealing to us how he wants us to do it. What does it say in Matthew 11? Matthew 11 and verses 25 to 30. Matthew 11, 25 to 30. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labour, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The simple word there is simply, he says, come. Because we're burdened, we're laden down with the things of this world. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's saying this isn't difficult. We're making it difficult, and it's not. He just simply says, come. And very often that call to come is ministered through the anointed word that we listen to. He is ministering, come right now. And you have a choice whether you want to or not. It's whatever you believe. This is why I say the calling is in the word of God that's preached. Our healing, our deliverance is in the word of God as we hear it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. The calling is in God's word. And what is the calling today? He says, I want you to learn my still small voice. I call you to come and experience that. Now, why, as I close, is he saying that to us? Is it a mistake? Has he got it wrong? Why is it we're listening to this? Why is God speaking to me now this? It's because today, now, you can experience this. Leave it tomorrow and it may be too late. The blessings are in the Word of God. That is how we learn. And that is what he was teaching Elijah, and that is what he wants to teach you and me. And as we hear that still small voice, he will always give the grace and mercy in which you hear. He never puts anything that we cannot do upon our shoulders. He never asks or requires anything of us that we cannot do, because he has gone before and he has prepared the way, both individually and corporately. Brothers and sisters, we cannot go wrong in this, you know. Stop making it so hard for yourself. Let go and let the Holy Spirit take over in our lives. Hallelujah and amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the captives free, to open prison doors and make the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. The Spirit
Jesus, I'll find secure.